Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are now joined by Chrissy Freud. Appreciate the time. She covers the NFL and college football for the USA Today Sports Network. How's it going today, Chrissy?
Good. How are you?
Chrissy, let's get to some of the games that will happen this weekend. I look at Texas and what they did last week going up against Arizona State. They rushed for 292 yards. Now, we saw you do a lot of study on quarterbacks. I thought that was the best game I've ever seen Kubnik play for Clemson. But when your defense can't stop the run, you got some real difficulties. I think Texas's game plan will be very similar against Arizona State. They want to try to out-physical them, hold on to the football, play a little keep away, and I don't think Arizona State can match what Clemson did throwing the football with Cade. To me, this seems to be, if the focus is there, Texas has got this game.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing whenever we look at these college football playoff matchups in this expanded format is that we're beginning to see, I don't think this is going to be the case year in and year out with this expanded format, but at least for this time, we're seeing a lot of lopsided matchups. We're seeing a lot of teams that can't compete the way that we thought maybe they can compete. And I think that Arizona State's going to be the exact same way. I think Arizona State is absolutely a lesser opponent to Texas. I think that Texas did well in the areas you had mentioned. And I think that Texas is going to outweigh Arizona State in just about every single facet possible this game. And so just the way that you laid it out, I think that's exactly how it's going to happen. And I don't think this is going to be a competitive football game at all. And how, to be honest with ourselves, how many competitive football games at all have we seen in the college football playoff? And Cade Klubnik, as we go back over, I think he had a hard time at the very beginning of the season. But I think as the season continued on, he showed just how good of a quarterback he was. And he was a quarterback that, if his team had played complimentary football, deserved to win a football game in that situation.
You look at the Oregon game because of what happened in game one against Ohio State. And Ohio State sort of helped them in that game. Not sort of. I think they did help them in that game. Oregon has played really well. Their offense built on speed. They do run the football well, but they built on these little short passes and getting the track team out into the open field. But if Ohio State shows up like they did last Saturday against Tennessee, I think there's no way Oregon can beat them. Now, again, I don't know if we see that Buckeye team again, because they look like they came in there ready to play. And you saw the talent get unleashed on a pretty good Tennessee team, to be honest with you. And they just beat them from start to finish with this. Your thoughts on this game between the two teams, where I think early in the season or even in the offseason, most people thought Ohio State's going to get there. You never thought you'd see Oregon and Ohio State play in the early part of the playoff round.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch how this whole thing's gone. But I think that the biggest narrative to see in this entire thing is that there is no – Alabama's gone. I mean, the college football dynasty team's gone. We don't have that anymore. And Oregon seemed to be on its way up to be that next thing. And then we saw how they came so close to Wisconsin and what happened there. I mean, Wisconsin's not a very good football team. And so matchups like that and – several other matchups across the nation that kind of illustrated that same point is that there is no dominant team. And so to me, Ohio State and Oregon is anybody's game, just as any college football playoff game is anybody's game. But I mean, Ohio State at this point definitely has a chip on its shoulder, and Ohio State's a very good football team. So, I mean, I would pick Ohio State to beat Oregon, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But at the same time, the Ducks and the way that they've rebuilt is commendable. I mean, Oregon's not consistently for the past 10 years been like one of the best college football teams in the nation, always going to make it to the national championship. And so the way that they reloaded after losing a player like Bo Nix and some of these really big guys that they lost and being able to transition and to make it into being the number one team in America for a period of time, it's huge. And so I think that this is going to be a close game, but I personally do believe that Ohio State and Will Howard at the helm, how great has this transition been for him, this comes out on top at the end of it.
And boy, when you got Phil Knight cutting checks, it's pretty good, you know. When you got a guy, and he's at an age now where he's told everybody, hey, whatever money you need, I want to see a national championship at Oregon in football in my lifetime. And, you know, Phil's kind of getting up in age. Chrissy, before I get into the Georgia-Notre Dame game, this popped in my head because before the draft last year, you were a big advocate of Spencer Rattler. I remember us talking about that with you. And your thoughts on Spencer before the draft and what you've seen so far of him in NFL games.
Yeah, it's funny because him and Jay Kaner are going back and forth right now at that backup position behind Derek Carr. And I think that Spencer's obviously got the edge. I talked to Jay Kaner yesterday and I said, how have things been with the things? And he said, things have been pretty interesting. I get the sense that he's not very happy with the way that things have gone. That's understandably so. But I think that Spencer has the higher ceiling. And I think that he's shown that so far, but I think he's going through these rookie growing pains. And the unfortunate thing is that he's going through these rookie growing pains without being prepared to have to do this whatsoever. So I think Spencer's probably doing a better job than he's being given credit for.
Chrissy, when you look at the Georgia game, it's a new dynamic because the erratic play of Carson Beck this year. And I thought he was one of these guys, having watched him last year, that he would make that leap and he would become that big-time guy. He certainly has got talent. I'm not going to go that far, but it's just his erratic nature. We've seen him look really good in like a half, really bad in a half. Quarters almost the exact same way. Now you get a new dynamic now with Gunnar Stockton. One thing with Gunnar is people think, you know, he's just some guy that has been sort of in the wings, but you see the talent in him, how he handled that second half going up against Texas. I think you saw some maturity and poise in him, and he brings an element that Carson didn't have. He can run. And it almost was like the batteries, you know, the jumper cable got put on that Georgia offense when Gunnar got into the lineup. And I think the only thing that'll keep them from being in the national championship game is, you know, maybe Gunnar not playing very well at the quarterback spot, because they don't have a lot of weaknesses on that Bulldog team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest weakness of all is the wide receivers consistently and always dropping passes since the beginning of the season. And so it's going to be curious to see how they do. And I think that perhaps the biggest thing that we're not looking at right now that we should be looking at is Carson Beck is still a solid pocket passer. He's good enough at improvising and he's mobile enough, but he's not super mobile. I think Gunnar Stockton brings more to the table. But perhaps the narrative that we're most overlooking is not that Gunnar Stockton's more blue collar or not that he has mobility. It's the fact that he has mobility and the ability to move the ball with his legs when they need to, because the receivers can't stop dropping the passes. It's not a testament to necessarily what Gunnar Stockton can do. I mean, Kirby Smart's even spoken to this. He doesn't have the in-game reps that he wishes that he had. But what he does have is the ability to go off script consistently and do a good job with it. And I think that makes that this is giving this smoke show that he's better than Carson Beck, which is not true. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he can be a very legitimate SEC quarterback. But the reason why we think Gunnar Stockton is so good is he could move better than Carson Beck on a team where the receivers can't catch the ball. The wide receiver drop rate is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the FBS. And that is what making Gunnar Stockton look so good right now. And I think he has a lot of potential and all that those other things. But at the same time, I mean, he's not this hero to the point that he's injecting this life into Georgia that Carson Beck can't. It's because of that.
Do you think that maybe some of this was masked at Georgia, receiver-wise, because how good Brock Bowers is? Because what he did the last 2 years, he was a kind of tilt-the-field guy at Georgia. And now the Saints get to play him this coming Sunday. Brock, the one thing with him, he wasn't going to drop many passes. I mean, if it got close to him, he was going to make that play downfield for the Bulldogs. And so maybe because you went so much to Brock, it sort of masked maybe the non-development of the receiving core at Georgia.
Yeah, and he had Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. Those two are on track to make history this season in the NFL. So Georgia, I mean, has gone from Mount Olympus down to the dirt in terms of the receiving core. That's a very big thing. And I feel like people don't realize the gap in which that they were last year and where they are now. And that's a very big deal. So I think Oscar Delp at Georgia has probably come the closest possible to replacing Brock Bowers, but he's still nowhere close. But I think looking back on him, he's about the only consistent pass catcher that there is on this team. Lawson Lucky's done a pretty good job, but not consistently. But, I mean, I put it between Lucky and Delp at this point as the best pass catchers that Georgia has. And everybody else is very hit or miss. Arian Smith has had some big plays, but he's also – him and Dominic Lovett have been two of the biggest criminals of dropping the pass. So I think it's a lot worse than people think it is.
So going up against Notre Dame, if I'm Notre Dame, I try to play man coverage and then try to get a little extra pressure on Gunnar. Because if the receiving core is going to be, you know, 50-50 on a catch, I'm going to put all the pressure on Gunnar at that point. Because when you look at how the games are broke down with them, my thing would be, okay, you're not going to beat me with the receivers, but also you're not going to beat me with your running game. I'm going to try to take that part away from Georgia if I'm Notre Dame. I don't know if Notre Dame can do it, but I think that would be the game plan going into this game.
Yeah, I think this all comes down to how well do you parallel against Trevor Etienne. And I promise you that's a lot harder than you think it is, even if it's a singular person. Trevor Etienne has been a very big force within this game for Georgia. So I think between Etienne, how well Etienne's contained, how well Arian Smith, and at times he does hit his hot streak. So Arian Smith, which version are we getting of him? Trevor Etienne, can you stop him? Gunnar Stockton, can you stop him on the ground? I think it comes down to those three things. And I think another thing that we haven't spoken about yet so far, Riley Leonard caught a lot of flack at the beginning of this season for his play at Notre Dame, but I think he's done a very good job as of late. I think he did a very good job whenever he wasn't injured at Duke. So I think that offensive side of the ball and what he's able to engineer there and what the Georgia secondary can do against him. And I mean, he's also very, very tall, very big quarterback, but still a very large running threat as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how things match up with those.
Going from Georgia, Chrissy, over to the Atlanta Falcons. Just curious, your analysis of Michael Penix's first start in the NFL. What'd you think?
Yeah, I did not like Michael Penix Jr. at all in the pre-draft process whatsoever. I think his mechanics are still quite horrible. But at the same time, I mean, I asked Raheem Morris about this. I'm not shy about it. I talked to Michael Penix Jr. that all people involved are aware that I am not a fan of Michael Penix Jr.'s mechanics, and I think that nobody really is. But they found from what I've been told, ways to work around them. He's found ways to be accurate. I mean, I think he did a very good job with some well-placed balls, some good timing. I mean, he played a good game as a rookie. Couldn't have asked much of anything more from him. It's not my way of playing quarterback. It's not my way of playing football. But it sounds like they're correcting his mechanics and finding ways to work around them for the meantime. And he's clearly, look at that final score and what they were able to do on offense. He's getting the job done for now. We'll see how that continues to progress. But I think a good job by him on the first part, this first start here. I think it was respectable the way that he handles himself as a young person. The things he described to me in his relationship with Kirk Cousins, the mutual respect there is there, and kind of the passing the torch for now, the way that things look right now. I think it was positive, but I mean, I'm going to continue to kind of look at how this goes from the short remainder of the season. And then if, and when the Falcons do make their postseason berth.
Chrissy, one of the things we saw Jaden the last 2 years at LSU, and I think Cliff Kingsbury, I got to give him a lot of credit. There's mm-hmm. still some work there with Jaden and certain things he does, but he plays to Jaden's strength as a football player, and he understands the type of throws that Jaden really likes to go downfield with, and certainly he can buy all kind of time with those legs, the way he can run with the football. There's a certain confidence in him. I think what Kingsbury has done is really sort of been overlooked. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Jaden. I'm a huge Jaden Daniels fan. But I think the way Cliff has used him in year one, you really couldn't ask him to build it better for Jaden than how he's done so far this year.
Yeah, that's the product of a quarterback playing in an air raid system under an air raid coach. That's exactly what's going on there. Jaden Daniels' biggest issue, and I was not big on Jaden Daniels his first half a year at LSU. I was huge on Jaden Daniels his time at Arizona State, I mean. But the biggest issue was that Jaden Daniels could not consistently score through the air. We didn't know if that was because of the game plan. We didn't know if it was because of him. We didn't know if it was lack of talent, whatever was going on. And I think that Jaden Daniels has been thrust into now two systems between the college system at LSU and the NFL system with the Washington Commanders, and they have refined him completely as a passer. That's the only thing I wanted to see from him whenever I was promoting him as a top 10 quarterback when nobody else was. Nobody else was doing that when he was at Arizona State with the Sun Devils. And I think that over time, you have a quarterback who's not polished as a passer. The dual threat quarterback, the true, I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson before he was taught how to throw the ball for the first time, which a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's true. A true dual threat passer is the most dangerous thing at any position in the NFL. And I think that Jaden Daniels has happened into two situations where he has been groomed and polished as a great dual threat quarterback. And so I think that's what's going on there. And I think that Cliff Kingsbury, as someone who was mentored under Mike Leach, who was an air raid offense guru, is exactly what factored into that.
Chrissy, appreciate your time and knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
College football and NFL writer for USA Today Sports Media Group, Chrissy Freud, joined us there.